Let us pray. God of daybreak, our souls wait for your light more than those who watch for the morning. Let your Holy Spirit illuminate our hearts with the light of your redemption, a new day, a new life in Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and procedure and proceeds wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. The sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Pray with me. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. And all the redeemed say so. Amen. Amen. You know, I spent about 2 years studying revival. You know, we think about back in the 18th and the 19th century, and all those churches were being formed. God was coming down in the supernatural and multiplying his kingdom. And of all the studies, I mean, it was just amazing. And think, what happened today? What's happening? What's missing today? And I mean, I was blessed. I was talking to I'm glad to see Pastor Edward is here again today, because we had a chat last week, and we were so excited to talk about what I'm about to talk about today. I'm like, he's just telling me that God needed me to tell you this message. One of the things that came out of those revivals, one of the evangelists of that time wrote a book about the revival, the history of the revival, and he said, we could sum it up in one thing that throughout all of them that was common: prayer. All of these revivals started with people praying. And I'm not talking about just coming in and say, "Thank you, Jesus, become my Lord, bless my food today," kind of prayer. Nothing vague like that. These are people who are coming and sitting down and praying for hours and hours, almost beckoning God. It's almost testing God, show up. These are people who will sit down for days in the place and just pray. I have a brother, an Ethiopian pastor, who he will lead his church in nights after nights of praying, because they're praying and expecting in faith that God is going to deliver. Amen? And I have to be saying sometimes why we, the church, especially in the Western cultures, why churches are not, people not flocking, because we don't gather to pray for just to pray. Maybe it's my fault. I don't gather you and say, come on, let's go pray tonight. We're going to be here tonight. Come on down. But I heard a sermon by Tony Evans. The sermon was about Elijah, which I'm going to get to in a minute because James mentioned him. Elijah is one of my favorite prophets, but he used this analogy that says all of us has electricity in our houses. The power, electricity is powered to give us the privilege, the blessings to turn on some lights, a blender, a coffee maker, the blow dryer for here. The power behind that is the electricity. But it's nothing until it has a point of contact. We still have to flip the switch or plug it in to get that power. So our prayer is that point of contact between God and us. See, when God created us, he created us to be in communion with him and to be in conversation with him. And one of the ways we do that, the most effective way to do that is in our prayers. You know, God has plans for us. Jeremiah tells us plans to prosper us. And sometimes our blessing is sitting up there waiting to be sucked down. Waiting for us to call. I mean, Jeremiah also said, you call upon the Lord and he will answer us and show us things we have not yet known. He also said in Isaiah in Isaiah 65:24, he's telling us before we call, he's answering it. Before we call, the answer is happening. Because we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, interceding on our behalf day and night. Though we don't call for it sometimes, he knows this is for you, but he's coming and bringing it down. But here's the thing. God has called, always partner with human beings to bring the supernatural, to move people for the increase in his kingdom. He always partner with God. Can he do it by himself? Yes. But that's not who he is. That's, remember, we said God is a relational God. So he is our mission statement is that God, we are called to partner with God to transform us, this community, this city, and beyond. That's our mission statement. Everything about God wants to partner with us. And one of the ways that point of contact is through prayer. Through prayer. Wants to plug into the power of Jesus Christ through our prayer. The word says, starting in by 16, he said, confess to each other and pray for each other. I want you to go back and read that whole thing because you're going to find out that every single verse from what Glenn read to the very end had the word prayer or praying in it. This brother of Jesus Christ, James, who wrote this book, thought it was very important. And every verse had the word prayer. So we need to confess. We need to come together to God in front of God clean. Confess our sins before God. And then we have the power to go. So we already go, not then, but you have the power before you confess. But you're going clean and purified and sanctified before the Lord. Amen. Okay, you're going expecting something new. So I got to go ready. You're ready now. In the old days, the Old Testament, people that said to consecrate themselves. Our confession, consecrate ourselves before we go before the throne of God. Can you go in expecting? That's a prayer in faith. expecting something to happen, expecting that expecting that the power of the Holy Spirit that was indwelling with us, when we say yes to Jesus, we're going to plug into that same power now and say, God, give me my breakthrough. Amen. Give me my breakthrough, Lord. I'm ready for my breakthrough. But here's the thing. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces result. Not just result, but wonderful results. The earnest prayer. And then he goes on to tell us, you know, tell us what's going to happen when we do that, when we pray earnestly. And then he tells us about Elijah. Oh my God, Elijah. Oh, it was a righteous man. Not some superhero, not some Superman or one of those guys. He's going and tell her who Elijah is. An ordinary man, just like you and I. But when Elijah prayed, he prayed earnestly, he tells us. Earnestly. Some of the translations tell us he effectively prayed fervently. His prayer was effective in praying. That word, I'm telling you, when I was studying, that thing blew my mind. That word earnest that he talks about, he actually means in the Greek with prayer. In other words, he's telling, he's praying in his prayer. His prayer take on the personality as someone who has the power of the Holy Spirit in there. He's praying the prayer. And that kind of praying in the prayer, in the spirit prayer, is something that not only you and I can do on our own. That means that the spirit and the anointing came over him as he prayed. He prayed in the, you know, when you have to go into Acts to talk about, and not Acts, Kings, to talk about what Elijah was doing. Because he said he prayed for rain to come, and it didn't come. And he 3.5 years later, he prayed again, and it came. But when you're going to Acts 1, I keep going to Acts, sorry, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it was decreed that it's not going to rain. One chapter over, the same first verse, it said, God can go and tell Arab it's going to rain soon. But when that rain that was happening, the one that not going to rain and one that's telling when it's going to rain, this wasn't the first time this happened. It was said by the same person, but you're going to go over into Deuteronomy 11. You're going to Deuteronomy 11, and you hear God is telling them, if you don't obey me and if you continue to worship idols, I'm going to dry up the land. And if you obey me, stop worshiping those idols, and our idols can be anything in our world. It could be a job, strive for money, just about anything that puts priority over God could be your idols. So if you keep worshiping those idols, stop worshiping those idols, I'm going to give you rain in the morning, rain in the evening, in the right season for your crops to grow. This is what James is saying. You'll produce results, powerful, wonderful results. But this is Elijah. See, Elijah knew what God had already decreed back in Deuteronomy. And he's coming now and the same, what he said, God said to Moses. But now God is saying to him, I'm going, no rain is going, because these people are not doing what I said to do in 11. And now he comes back and he tells Arab it's going to rain. And he said, go home, get ahead, because it's going to thunder up in here. But somehow we got in his chariot and kept going. But when you go down in Kings, later on in the end of the chapter towards the end, when Elijah actually prayed, the prayer that James is talking about here, Elijah said in 41, he said, Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty storm coming. But here's the thing. Ahab didn't hear no mighty storm. Elijah heard it, but he didn't hear it. And sometimes we can't hear the voice of God. We can't hear because it depends on our proximity to where you sit with God. It depends on our spiritual commitment. It depends on the relationship we have with God. He goes listening and he's hearing this thing coming and nobody else can hear it. But it doesn't matter. He kept going expectantly. And Ahab went and do his drinking, go get something to eat. But Elijah climbed up on Mount Carmel, away from everybody. Sometimes we need to be in a place where there's no distraction. Do you have such a place in your life where there's no distractions? A prayer room. We said the prayer closet, that show movie, somewhere you can go. Sometimes I come in here late at night and sit right where Glenn is sitting. And that's where I have my bawling out with the Lord. I pray this kind of prayer that James is talking about for Elijah. Do you have such a place where you can be away and just pray to the Lord, listening, praying earnestly? But here's the thing. He tells us we pray, but he also told us, oh, Elijah prayed. I don't know if I can go down there, but picture it. He prayed, he said, he goes down and he put his head between his knees, and that's in the position of prayer. So also our position makes some difference, isn't it? Are we bowing before the Lord? But here's the thing, in those days when there were no stirrups or anything for the pregnant women to do, these people, they put them to crunch down and push and push. So Elijah was in a position ready to push out a miracle. He pushed out a miracle. He wasn't playing around. He said, I know what God has decreed. I know what the word I said was going to happen. So he went in the right position. Sometimes we just need to bow down before the Lord, humble ourselves before the Lord. Because you know what? That's where we belong, at the foot of the throne, the foot of the cross, surrendering to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Elijah went down. Did no wonder James knew about this. No wonder James needs us to hear about this morning. Because we stand up. So we say our prayers busy. We're in the car. We're so busy. Oh, Father God, just bless this day. Put your whole coin over us. Father God, bless this day. We're busy going and trying to talk to God. But God wants us to slow down sometimes. Slow down and put yourself in the right position. So we can plug into the power of Jesus Christ, the power that comes to a contact, point of contact, the prayer. But for a person to labor, Elijah was laboring in prayer. That's why I say pray with the prayer. He was praying in his prayer. It was a laboring thing. But for somebody to go into labor, they got to be pregnant, right? So what are you pregnant with? We all should be pregnant with the presence of Jesus Christ. We all should be pregnant with a forgiving heart. We all should be pregnant with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit to come out and just cleanse us. Pregnant with the tongues of confession. Pregnant and let them out. At the end of a pregnancy, something come out. Things is the command of our lives. So we can pray this kind of prayer for Jesus that Elijah is talking about, James is talking about. What in your life is preventing you to pray these kind of prayers? It's okay. Because by the grace of God, we get a do-over every day. every day. It's simple. God loves you, and he wants to hear from you. You know, we think that he can't do it. You think he can't turn his church around? We're not doing it on our own. He's not doing it on his own either. He's partnering with us. God has so much invested in you and I. He refused to just let it be. He's waiting to pour out. He's waiting to use. We just have to make ourselves available. Sometimes the place of the availability is to crunch down and be in prayer. My brother was telling us what was going on in Africa back in the 80s and 90s. The 80s, when there was no, the churches were very sparse, very few people in there. And there was a prophecy that came over Africa. And they listened to this small body. That's why I don't care about size. I don't talk about the heart of the people in the small. God can do mighty things with a small number of people. So everybody who is praying for big, big church, I don't pray for big, big church. I pray for people to come to Christ. Amen? Because that's what matters. So he said, this small body, a band of people would pray night and day, day in and day, and they knew what was decreed for them, just like Elijah knew what was decreed in Deuteronomy. They prayed and prayed and prayed, and over the years, it never always happened right away. That those churches has multiplied to thousands. I'm glad you showed up today. You can testify to what God can do. You see, in Elijah's story, when he goes down to pray, and he said to the servant, "Do you see anything coming over the waters, the sea?" And he said, "No, I don't see anything. There's nothing." And Elijah said, "Go look again. You see anything?" "No, nothing." 7 times he sent him to look if there's anything come over, because he know he saw a cloud somewhere. He heard a thunder was coming. 7 times, and we know the number 7 in biblical terms means completion. 7 times, and on the 7th time, he went and looked. And he said, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand coming up. Hallelujah. You see, what we're telling you is that he took years to see the multiplication in thousands. God would sometimes give you a little glimpse of what he's about to do, and it takes its time. So sometimes we're praying for something and we think we don't see it. It doesn't happen. Because it didn't happen the way we expect it to happen. No, it didn't happen the way we want to see it happen. And again, it doesn't happen in the time we want it to happen. But it's coming. It's coming. Little by little. The greatest gift we can have, I tell you guys as a believer, is that the gift of listening. You keep listening, you come up and pay attention. You might just see that little bit that's coming, yes? And keep your faith going. Because if I believe, Ava gave me this stone this morning. So I got a gift for you, Pastor. It's called, and it's, you all know I like stones. I'm not big on stones. But on it, it says wisdom. It says wisdom. I said, little girl, I pray for wisdom every day, because that's what Solomon did when he's about to lead them people. Give me the wisdom to lead them. But our wisdom starts with listening. If we can be attentive, listen, we too can pray effective, fervent prayers. Can the Holy Spirit will lead us into that space too. Sometimes we are not going to it on our own, but something happened in our lives and it just pull us into that. If we pay attention, we can also see the blessing that's coming sometimes in the size of a hand. Those days that the revival were bursting out all over the world. You know, one of the guys, Roller, this evangelist named Roller, and he was giving the history of revivals that I was telling you, and he said, the Lord has put on his heart to pray, sit in solitude to pray. I just picture him like Elijah on Mount Carmel in solitude, just praying. We know that Jesus did that a lot. He go away in the mountains or in the desert or even by the water to be with his father to pray, just to be. So Rolla was doing that. And God set on his heart to come back and pray for a real revival, start a prayer circle. I didn't even know this thing had existed. So he called up some of his pastor colleagues, and they started a work from one region to one. It became a worldwide prayer chain. Can you imagine that? People all over the world praying for the same thing, because one man was obedient. One man was obedient. Maybe it's one of you God is calling. Maybe it's one of you God is calling to be such a prayer intercessor for us, to lead us into intercession. Everything doesn't have to come from me. I just believe God speaks to each and every one of us. Amen? So we have that gift. I know that a prayer circle, to go back to the history, things were busting out in Switzerland. They were busting out in Scotland. They were busting out all over the place. But I know somebody said to me, I read it somewhere in a good book, that God was, is, and was, is, and will be the same. So if the God who did that before, don't you think he can do it again? He calling us to plug into the one source, the point of contact, the point of contact, to go down and pray for this. Pray for your breakthrough, because the way maker is ready to bust in our lives. The way maker is ready to give us the breakthrough we've been asking for. He's ready to release us, free us from the pain, and free us from the suffering, free us from the hardship. We just have to pray and suck it down. Make the rain come down. We have to make the rain come down, and it comes down through our prayers. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? And I'm not, as I said, it's not some vague little prayer. It's when you need to sit down and I'm ready for something to happen. You see, there's going to be faith in a prayer. This is one of those, these are some prayers that you believe. It comes in faith. These are spirit prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. These are some spirit prayers. Like, you know, because you remember 2 years ago when mommy went into the hospital at night, and my sister, the evening, actually, my sister called me and said, Debbie, mommy has to get an emergency surgery. She's not going to make it. And I said, okay, they're rushing out to Kingston right now. And I said, all right. I was still in the parsonage by myself. Peter hadn't moved down yet. I'm saying, okay, God, it's you and me now. It's you and me now. Because she's coming off that table. I don't know what you do afterwards, but she's coming off that table alive. And I went down. I didn't even turn on the lights. And I pray. I could just pray like it's like there's no tomorrow. And I could feel the Holy Spirit came on. And I know I wasn't praying no more. It was Jesus praying. I know I wasn't praying no more. It was the Spirit praying. And I just pray. And I could just feel like I'm having an out-of-body experience. And I was taken down to the place where my mama was lying on the table. I could see the thing is happening. And it just took me to see this. I got you. That's what I heard all of it. I got you. Can you let me see the whole thing? That's the power, the Spirit I'm talking about. This is this power. These things happen, my friends. I could tell you a whole story. I was talking to Don about some of them the other day. I should be writing a book about it, that I don't want you to know. The God that was and is still alive in us. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus. You remember when Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead? He said something stirred up in him. The word says something stirred up in him. That something stirred up. That's like the thing that happened to me that night. Something stirred up into me. God, I know something is extraordinary is about to happen. When you think of stirring up, you think of like an agitator in those old washing machine that goes back and forth, ready to do some cleansing. That's why it's like confess your sins first. You got to get some cleansing before you go. Then when that thing is stirred up, that's where the power, you can feel it coming up in and through you. And you just tell him, come out, Lazarus. The God man, call up on the Spirit of God to stir him up. God is ready to stir up something in you. Stir up what's already embedded in you. His Spirit. So we can do some supernatural kind of praying. Amen? Because we're ready for some revival in this place. And it's not going to happen when we're sitting down there saying vague prayers. It's going to happen when we partner with God to transform us. And the thing that's going to transform us, the power behind what's going to transform us is His Spirit. We're going to pray, Lord. We're going to pray, my children. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. But let's do that right now. Father, we just thank you for your Son. In the prayer we pray this morning, telling us you're constantly hovering over us. You said that kingdom come on earth. You're hovering over us, dear Lord Jesus, waiting for us to pull down that was decreed for us through our prayer. Lord, let us, our prayer life, be sanctified. Lead us our prayer life to live like, to be said by people who were saved by grace. Lord, teach us. Teach us that the only thing the disciples asked of you was to teach them how to pray. Teach us, Lord, to pray earnestly like Elijah. It was not by mistake that your brother is the one teaching us and reminding us this day. And he didn't fail to tell us that Elijah, he's just an ordinary man like us, a righteous, ordinary man. Father God, we are all ordinary in front of you. God, raise our faith, increase our faith. Father Jesus, you are the increaser of our faith, so therefore our faith is you and in you. God, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for transforming us this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. God of wisdom and knowledge to teach us this day. And all God's children says, amen.
This morning with singing, every time I feel the Spirit. And if you'd like to follow along in the hymnal, it's number 404. The words will be on the screen as well.
Thank you.
That's your reminder. Every time you feel the Spirit, it's a little tug for you to go pray. Amen? So as people have been blessed, who have been fed, go feed the world. Pray for the people that we have given you cards to pray over. Don't stop praying till you see the breakthrough. Elijah didn't stop. Maybe for us, we're just beginning. So just pray. Pray for the things you want in life. Pray in faith, in the Spirit. Because God loves you. And His peace be with you until we meet again. Amen. Okay.